So think of that song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, Write on My Heart Every Word. And that's the opportunity that we have of coming together. You know, there's another song that says, for those who know it best, they're just hungry and thirsty to hear it all over just like the rest. And that's what I want to have in my life is, tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me how he lived, how he wants us to live. I want to be able to put that to practice in my life. Last week we talked about Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. This is Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. He's given us a promise. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we talked about last week of how important it is for me. What is my hunger and thirst for? I want it to be for righteousness. So what I'd like to talk today about is what I'm hungry and thirsty for, if it is righteousness. What is righteousness? Yes. And I looked at the definition. It's a conformity of my heart and my life to the divine law. Not just, well, I have a head knowledge of it, but I don't practice it. But righteousness is, I've got a knowledge of it, and I put it to practice in my life. And I keep thinking of that Psalms 1 and 1, blessed is the man, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. This is, what does it say, a conformity of heart and life. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he does more than just thinking about it, meditating on it. But I said, he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When trouble comes because of those things that he's bringing into his heart, into his mind, he's able to be strong in those times of drought. A conformity of a heart and life. I would like to go to start with a verse in Proverbs 14 and 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I would like for us to roll back time a little bit in the United States. I was thinking about this. When our nation was formed, the Bible was used as they were making laws back then. And the Ten Commandments were posted in public places, and they were welcomed to be there. A lot of change has come about in the past years. Some of you can remember, I can remember as a child on Sunday, about the only thing that was open would be a gas station. And there were very few of those. They had something that they called blue laws back then that prohibited anything being open. It was just known you better get your stuff Saturday because there won't be a store open on Sunday. And I think it just told us a little bit of the picture of respect and reverence that there was for godly things, for God and his laws. What is this? Righteousness is a conformity of my heart and my life to the divine laws that I read in his word. So I'm thinking of another verse. Whenever in Luke, the 19th chapter, there's a little picture here that I'd like for us to think about. Luke 19 and 12. In this picture, it says there was a certain nobleman. He went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And then the 14th verse, he had some citizens that hated him. They sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. You know what? That's what we have seen in America over the past years. We're going to do it our way, and we're seeing some results that comes from doing it our way. There is a verse over in Isaiah the 5th chapter. This is a picture of where we are today in America, in the world really. Isaiah 5 and 20. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. You know, there was a time years ago when I was a child that people understood what was right and what was wrong. Maybe they did not even live it, but they had a respect for it. They had a knowledge of, here's what's right, here's what's wrong. But this says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, there's come a lot of change now to where people say, this is right. Yeah. I never would have thought I would be hearing the word transgender. You know, to come to a place that people applaud, that our nation itself applauds that. I don't want to be a man anymore. I want to be a woman. And so I make some changes and I say, this is who I am. No, don't go looking on my birth certificate that I was a boy back then. No, I'm not anymore. You know how that is going to, there's going to be some sowing and some reaping that comes from all that. But all that comes from this, woe is them that call darkness light and light darkness. We will not have this man to reign over us. We're going to do it our way. And we see, you know, we even see, I thought I would never see such a thing. A man decides, you know what, I can't win at all playing sports. So I'm going to say I'm a woman. And now I'm carrying trophies home with me. He ought to be so embarrassed to be walking up the stage saying he's a woman, but he's got the strength of a man. Those are just pictures of what's happening. But you know what I love? God's not confused at all. He's still just as clear. It's still just, you know, what is it? Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me the story of God and his workings. You know, way back then in Genesis 1 and 27, it says, male and female created he them. And it's still the same. Nothing has changed in all these. The world can start. Put darkness for light and light for darkness and say, this is the way it is. But you know what? We can still have righteousness, and I am very thankful for it. And there is a children's song that came to my mind as I was thinking about this week. I want to thank you, God, for making me me. You know what a blessing that is? I'm not having to sit here figuring out all that part of it. I just, Lord, you gave me this color hair. You know, Brother Marty used to talk about red hair and how he wished his hair would have been different when he was in school, because he was a little shortest boy in the school and they would rub his head to the red head that he had. You know, those kind of things can affect a child. But you know what we can do? We can come to the place where we say, Lord, you made me this way. You caused this to happen in me, and I am, you know, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And that's not talking about money in my billfold. Contentment is, Lord, you have allowed me to be in this place at this time. You have allowed, as the writers were talking about, things happening in their life of affliction and all. You know, for us to have a contentment in this part, Lord, you have allowed me to be here. What would you have me to learn from this lesson that we have? I want to thank you, God, for making me me. Where I am today, thank you, Lord. And you know, for a nation, what is it? Righteousness exalts a nation. So what if sin is a reproach to any people? Well, what if a nation turns against righteousness? Not much I can do about righteousness for a nation. I thought this, but then I realized there is something I need to be doing about it. And it's over in 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2 and 1. Here's something that we can do about righteousness or not righteous in a nation. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. You know what? That'll take in all the leaders of our country that are making these laws that they say this is now approved. What are we supposed to do for them? Make a sign and go out and protest? No, here's what we do. I exhort that you pray for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pray for those. You know what? Even though as a nation we're not enjoying the benefits of righteousness so much today, you know what? I can still enjoy it myself as a person by walking close to God. There is something that I want us to look at in Isaiah. When there's trouble all around us, what if our level of walk with God was affected by what the world does around us. If they have peace, I have peace. If they don't have peace, I don't have peace. I am so thankful that I can have peace no matter what. I want to go to Isaiah 32 and 17. Because there can be trouble all around me, but look at what can happen for me. The work of righteousness. If we said, well, that's only in a nation. No, that's the work of righteousness in my heart. The work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness in my life is going to be quietness and assurance forever. I love that verse. Here's going to be some of the results that come from righteousness in my life. The work of righteousness, there's going to be peace there. The effect of righteousness is going to be quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. I love those verses because that happens while there's trouble all around us. As the laws come out now that say this is okay and this is not okay, and it's totally different than what the Bible says, we can still dwell in a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings, in quiet resting places. There is a song, number 161, a verse of that song, in the fourth verse. What a wonderful salvation, where we all we see his face. What a peaceful habitation. What a quiet resting place. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, blessed assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, Jesus speaks to me, and the billows cease to roll. If somebody doesn't mind to go outside, Dave said he's here now. If somebody can help him get in. I'm glad he was able to come. So, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. So, you know, it's real easy for me to say, okay, I want righteousness in my life. So I'm going to look through the scripture and I'm going to make me a list of do's and don'ts. And I'm going to do those right things and I'm going to not do the other things. And that is righteousness. I check the list and so I must be righteous. And then I start finding out this thing goes deeper than just the do's and the don'ts. Jesus intended it to go deeper than the do's and the don'ts. And I want us to look at something over in Luke, because really this comes down home to me. After I've been living for the Lord for a long time, and I can be justified in checking the list, I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't do these things. And then I find Jesus, tell me the story of Jesus. This is part of his story. In Luke 18 and 9, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You know, if I'm not careful, I can come to a place that I justify myself. I've checked this list and everything is going well for me. And they despise others. And then it says there's two men that went up to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. This is a story in the Bible. But you know, if I'm not careful, I could be this person. I could check my list and say, Lord, I'm doing the do's and the don'ts. I've got them just right here. In fact, I'm a whole lot better than these folks that are in the transgender business and all this other stuff. In fact, I even have an attitude toward them of how sinful they are. This one, it tells us he had a prayer. I fast twice in the week. There's things that I do that should have me in the right category. But you know, after the other man prayed, it said the other man went home justified instead of this one. And so what it starts doing is ringing a bell for me. Dan, be very careful that I, when I have checked off the list to say I am righteous and acceptable before God, because there are some other things. Remember the rich young ruler, when he came to the Lord asking him, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what about the Ten Commandments, the things that the scripture says? He says, all these I've kept those from my youth. You know what? I need to be very much on guard that I don't check off, you know what? I've done this since my youth. Everything's fine. I don't need anything else, because here is the danger for it. The Jews were in that position when Jesus came. I want to look at a verse over in Romans. You know, Paul, as he came on he had a desire for them. He tells us about it in Romans 10. 10 and 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, that's something that was just his, I got one desire. Just want to be able to have them to be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, the plan that God was bringing about when Jesus came, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. My own righteousness can be something different than what God's righteousness is acceptable. Fourth verse, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, where it's telling that verse, Christ is the end of the law, that does not mean Jesus came, and so there are no longer any do's or don'ts to it. What it's really meaning is when Christ came, he came to fulfill what was all the old law. He came to fulfill it. Jesus said that in Matthew 5 and 17. Think not that I came to destroy the law. So when Jesus came, he wasn't saying there's no longer do's or don'ts. But what he did was he came to fulfill it. And it made me think about, you remember the Pharisees, when they brought the woman that was caught in adultery, they're asking Jesus, what we're going to do with her? The law says to stone her. And Jesus, you know what? Jesus came down to where he starts working in the heart. And you remember with them, he told them, he said, whoever is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he started writing something in the dust. And as he wrote that in the dust, those men all started going away. Because this is more than just do's and don'ts. It's a condition of our heart. And so I'm very glad for this instruction for me. I want to walk with a carefulness. I want him to be able to approve of my righteousness. Because Paul had a change that he had to make. He had some credentials. And I want to look at those because I think they're important for us. In Philippians... In Philippians 3 and 5, we look at Paul's credentials. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. You know what? He's checking the box. I have credentials here for my righteousness. And he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I'm blameless. Dave, we're in Philippians 3 and right now in the 6th verse. So touching the righteousness that's in the law. So he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had a check-off list. I don't do this. I do this. I'm doing all the right things. But then it says, what things were gained to me? When Christ came along, I had to count those things lost. I had to check off the list. Because in the 9th verse, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but I want to have that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. This is the difference between the two, and this is the difference for us today. I can say, I'm righteous. I'm checking off the list. I'm doing it. You remember when Jesus brought it on down to a condition of the heart? He said, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he said, I say unto you, if a man lust after a woman, he's committed adultery already in his heart. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, see, now he went down into a condition inside the heart. It's no longer check the boxes, I did this. It's the Lord coming down and checking. And I thought of the verse, I think it was used maybe in Sunday school. If any man be in Christ, he'll be a new creature. Not just checking the list on the outside, but his heart will be changed. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things have become new. Then he says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter heaven. Now that's quite a little verse right there. Because he said, I want to warn you of the leaven of the Pharisees. It's called hypocrisy. They do this to be seen of men, but their heart is not right. All this is just a little warning flag for me, because here's some verses that it tells us in Matthew 23 and the 5th verse, because there is a righteousness that God's looking for in our life. Matthew 23 and 5. It says, all of their works they do to be seen of men. It says, they make broad their phylacteries, they enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost. You remember how Jesus came along and he said, let this mind be in you. Paul tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Follow Jesus' example that he was here. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And he gave himself for us. You remember when Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve others, to minister to other people. And so this one is telling us some warnings. They love the uppermost rooms at the feast, the chief seats in the synagogues. Those kind of things, he's saying, beware of those. It goes on down in the sixth, in Matthew 6, how that they will... 6:2, look at this one. When you do alms, don't sound a trumpet, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know, to them, righteousness could have been, in fact, it said they actually would go out into the streets and blow a trumpet so that the poor people would know, come to me, I've got some money to give to you. Well, that sounds like a good thing. But what it was also intended to do was tell everybody else, I want you to see what I'm doing for these people. And Jesus is trying to tell us there's something more important than that. When you do your alms, don't sound a trumpet. What does it say in the third verse? When you do your alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. This is the kind of righteousness that God is accepted, that he would like to accept in our life. Fifth verse. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Can you imagine this? They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets that they may be seen of men. You know what we need to do is whenever I'm praying, I want to be able to say, even if it's in this service, Lord, this is something between me and you. I'm talking to you like a friend. I'm not interested in what other people are looking on. This is my communication with God. And he's letting us know that when you pray, enter into your closet. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father in secret. Your Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. These are just places where it says what seemed to be righteousness to men back then, God is saying, I've got a different level that I want you to be able to go to. I want to be able to have that. There's another verse in Romans, the 3rd chapter. Romans 3. And 22. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus. That's what I want to be able to have, is a righteousness that comes because of Christ being in my life. We sing a song that says, no righteousness of ours can ever avail, but through the Lamb of God we shall prevail. There's power in the blood. Everything else is going to fail. It won't be enough for me to check the list and say, I don't kill, I don't steal, I don't do all these things, so I must be right. There's power in the blood. Everything else is going to fail. There's power in the blood of Jesus. So I think when Paul was writing, he was trying to convince them there's another level to go to in your righteousness. And there's a verse over in Titus, the third chapter and the third verse. Because, you know, when the man went up to pray, what did it say? He felt himself righteous and he despised others. You know, something important for us is to be able to look back at the pit that God dug me out of. Who I could have been, would have been. This explains it. Third verse. We ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's who we were. So what changed it? Did I just start checking off the list? I'm going to start doing right things. No. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, and what brought it on? He owed something to us? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I want to always remember this, not just in my head, but down in my heart. It wasn't by works of righteousness that I had done, but it's because his mercy was extended to me. And I want to be able to have that same mercy be extended to others. And so over in Ephesians, it tells us something here that works itself is not going to do it. Ephesians 2 and 8. And I want to always remember this. By grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. You know, I cannot do enough good works to tell Jesus I deserve heaven. It's coming because he made a sacrifice one day, gave himself for me that I would be able to be saved. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. It's not of works. It's not something that I can do independent of the blood of Christ. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, he was trying to convince the Jews, your works won't be enough to save you now that Christ has come. Christ did not come to do away with the law, say, forget the Ten Commandments. You can live however you want to live because I have come and now you can be saved. No, what he did was he came to fulfill that law. He came to tell us, you know what, it's not just, I didn't kill somebody, so I'm good. No, but I got all kind of hatred in my heart toward them. He has come to deal with that and bring us to that level of righteousness, and I'm very thankful for it. There's a song that we sing, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite? No. If I just said, you know what, I'm going out, I'm going to do so many things for God. Could my zeal no respite? No. Could my tears forever flow? These for sin cannot atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. I always want to keep that in my mind, in my heart. The conformity of my life is because he shed his blood for me. And because of that, the righteousness that comes from my life is a result of that blood having been shed. There's another one that says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. For us to have this righteousness is what I'm interested in. And for me to go through life, we read this, had the verse this morning, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You know, the other one said, it's not by works, lest any man should boast. No, it's not. That verse goes right along with it, too. Let them see your good works. Why? that they may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That it goes right on past me. You know these, the Pharisees that were on the corner of the street praying loud so people would see them? He's saying, go to your closet. Don't let people see you. Don't do your things to be seen of men, because I'm watching. That's the righteousness that is acceptable before God. So I want to be able to have that in my life. You know what? I don't want to come to a place to where I say, I've checked the list. I've done all these things, so I must be good enough. No, what I want to do is I want the fountain of my righteousness to start with the blood of Christ being applied to my life. There's a song that I want us to sing in closing. It's number 51. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's what my hope is built on. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I don't want to trust my ability to have righteousness in myself. You know what Paul say? I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which comes from the law. But I want that righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ is what I want to be able to have. And then it says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. I want all of my righteousness in my life to stem from the sacrifice that he made for me. All other ground is sinking sand. My own righteousness, Paul came to that place where he realized, what if he had gone on through life saying, you know what, I'm a Pharisee, I'm doing the right things. He was. In fact, he said persecuting the church. He was not seeing Christ's righteousness as being valuable. But I am thankful it changed for him. Maybe we can sing that song. Maybe we can stand and sing number 51. My hope is built on something different than my righteousness. I'm doing right things, but it's on Christ.